This is Rod Peterson on Demand. Now,
as we're joined by the ageless Ron McLean, Hockey Night in Canada. But my mind's going back to PA. You can't spell party without PA. That they would show up and disrupt the party, the Raiders fans.
Paul Bissonnette's become kind of a rising star, right? And he's from Welland, Ontario, where they drink nothing but OV beer. Remember Old Vienna? You can't spell love without OV. So there's another one of those for you.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
G'day, Canada and Canadian sports fans across the continent and around the world. Welcome to the RP Show. Thanks for waiting until we went there. Canada's daytime sports talk show is leaving the harbor. RP here, DD there. How you doing, Dupes?
I'm well.
You're very excited about today's show, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's pretty great. Hockey is number one, and I think it is probably for you, too. And, you know, to have basically pre-game coverage of Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals tonight is exciting for me.
There you go. There's spoiler alert. There you go. Dupes letting it out of the bag. It's a big hockey day today. Hockey Night in Canada's Ron McLean will be joining us in advance of Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight, Tampa Bay-Dallas, from the Edmonton bubble. Also joining us today, and this is very interesting, longtime NHLer, 12 years, Jason LaBarbera. I didn't realize until the last time we had him on that he played in the show that long. He's currently the goalie coach of the Calgary Hitmen and with Hockey Canada, with the World Junior Team. Jason LaBarbera is going to be with us from Calgary. And I didn't know that he was on Hockey Wives.
I didn't either.
No, I didn't know that till today. So we're going to ask him about that. And then one that everybody's probably the most fired up for, those other two aside, the great Chris Dingman going to be joining us from Edmonton, Stanley Cup champion of the Tampa Bay Lightning. People are already asking him questions on Twitter, and he's responding to them. And he's got thoughts on Ryan Kesler bashing the NHL for the opioid epidemic in the NHL. And Dingman wants to talk about that. As a guy who knows a little bit about pain,
yeah,
Dinger wants to talk about it.
Well, it's funny because, you know, Ron McLean gets the usual buzz.
Yeah.
But I'm getting DMs, and here's one. It's, you know, some guy gets in my DMs this morning because he sees the show graphic.
Slid into your DMs?
It's been almost 30 years, and my dad is still angry that Seattle traded Dingman to Brandon as part of the Chris Osgood trade. So,
whoa,
taking it back, and so they're excited about Chris Dingman.
Well, I got to ask Dingman about that. I think of him as a wheat king.
Yeah.
I do. And we'll get some wheat king stories with Dinger. See what I mean? People are excited about that.
Yeah.
But it's not all hockey. Let's go with the quick six show topics here in the warm-up. Jordan, what do you say? Thank you, Director Jordan, the unsung hero of the crew here. Director Jordan. Well, the games last night. Number one, Denver beat the Lakers 114-104. Everybody's talking about Canadian Jamal Murray, and for good reason. It cut the Lakers' lead in the Western Conference Final of the Association 2-1. And the Blue Jays got spanked 12-1 by the New York Yankees yesterday at Salem Field in Buffalo. But the Jays' magic number to clinch a playoff berth is down to 2. But you can get all of that on the other networks, so let's move on. Point two, as I said, Stanley Cup Final tonight, Game 3. Dallas versus Tampa Bay, the series tied 1-1. We'll get into that with Ron McLean later on in segment two. Point three, I guess we're calling them Edmonton FC, Edmonton Football Club, terminating 49-year equipment manager Dwayne Mandrusiak. He is what I would call a personal friend of mine, and if he would agree, a close personal friend of mine. If you've got a guy's cell phone number and he follows you on Twitter, would that not say that you're close friends?
I would think so.
49 years let go by the Edmonton football program yesterday, and we're going to talk about that here in the warm-up. Point four, SJHL followers, that is Saskatchewan's Junior A League, are expecting a return-to-play announcement any moment. There's a column on the website, rodpeterson.com, right now by our SJHL insider, Jamie Neugebauer, who says, hey, maybe the announcement's happened by the time I wrote this. Like, that's how imminent it is. They think. I don't at all. And we'll get into that. Fun topic, point five, ESPN's top five NFL teams. This is from Ryan Clark, but I'm just saying it's ESPN's. Number five, Pittsburgh. Number four, Seattle. Number three, Green Bay. Number two, Kansas City. And who do you think RC believes is the number one team in the National Football League right now?
Baltimore.
Yeah! Ding, 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 ding. What's he won? I'm not saying we all need to agree with that, but it's an interesting power five in the NFL right now.
Very interesting.
And an add-on, as I was doing my quick six show topics this morning, Gale Sayers passing away. And it's almost a disservice to say it's an add-on because he's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Chicago Bears great. Gale Sayers passing away at the age of 77. Announced this morning. I'm not sure if it was this morning or last night that Mr. Sayers passed. But dementia, the cause, and the NFL is mourning that today. And point six, here we go. Right on cue, Mandy shows up from Edmonton, and she has a comment on our sixth point here. The NFL fines John Gruden and Sean Payton last night $100,000 for either not wearing their masks or not wearing them properly. The guys got them all over the place. There were three coaches on Sunday that weren't wearing their masks properly or at all, including Pete Carroll, right? $100,000. The question is it too harsh? Mandy in Edmonton says, wow, $100,000 fine, that's insane. What if an NFL coach unconsciously removed the mask before they were focused on something else? NFL's not dumb. They're watching the guys. They very clearly weren't wearing their masks for a reason. And then you got Andy Reid of the Chiefs, who looks like he's welding. Like, he's following the rules. So it's interesting. Now, here's my thing on this. I think it is too harsh. Like, $100,000? Wow. But that's just me. And people are writing in on our Twitter saying, well, with their salaries, they can afford it. Look, dude. Do you like paying a $100 speeding ticket? I don't. It doesn't matter if it's $100,000 or $100. That's very harsh. I don't care what they make. Now, having said that, you know that the government officials have said to the National Football League, the National Hockey League, any of these leagues, dupes, that, okay, we're going to allow you to play, but here's the rules. You have to stay within the bubble. You have to stay within these confines. The coaches need to wear masks. Look, we understand that nobody's going to catch coronavirus on the field of play. We get that. But you need to send a message to all of society that's watching that you're going to wear a mask and you're serious about this. That's what it comes down to. That's the message that they're sending. The NFL knows John Gruden's not going to catch coronavirus from a player from the Saints going on him. It's not the point. And I do and don't go along with it. I just see where they're coming from. I just think $100,000 is very harsh for that. So I voted yes, it's too harsh. But on the flip side, the NFL is saying, guys, A, the other 27 coaches are doing it. Why can't you? And B, we might have this whole thing yanked away because you won't wear a mask. Period. To me, that's what it comes down to.
It's, yeah, completely. And, you know, it's not that they just didn't wear it at one point of the game. It's that they weren't wearing it all game long,
right,
or for most of the game. Like, everybody, you know, they take them off to do something, they put them back on. Like, that happens, and they're okay with that. But you're right, it's the influence of it. They know, like, it's like the NHL players when they go to the press conference and they put their masks on, or they, you know, do the Black Lives Matter things, and you got the whole team there and they're wearing their masks. They're in the bubble, so they don't have to wear a mask. But it's all about the image that they're portraying. And you and I aren't influenced of, you know, if John Gruden's wearing a mask or Pete Carroll's wearing a mask. That's not making you and I wear one. But, hey, Brady might wear a mask because Pete Carroll does. They're making it acceptable and cool, and then other people want to do it. So
look at all the women watching today, and we thank you. Janelle Barkman says, teams will pay the fines because they know it's stupid. They'd rather win the game due to being able to communicate than have their coaches wear a mask. I would say, I've been in the sports game 30 years. I've never known the teams to pay the coaches' fines, ever. The coaches and players have to pay them themselves. Yeah. Donna says, are they in a bubble? Then what's up with all the hype? They're all together in a bubble, should be contained. NFL is not. Major League Baseball is not. I saw the batters last night for the Yankees are wearing masks. And I assume the Blue Jays were too. I just wasn't really noticing. Maggie Gregorish types in, tunes in, hears Rod, sips tea, and nods head. He's got a point. This dawned on me when I'm sitting there watching the Stanley Cup playoffs going, why has Joe Sakic got a mask on in the press box? There's nobody around him. Why has Kelly McCrimmon got a mask on? This is dumb. Why has Jerry Jones got a mask on? If anybody's got security in his private suite, it's Jarrah. It's not about whether they're going to get coronavirus or not. It's about the only way you get to play, guys, is if you wear a mask. We know it's stupid, but you need to wear it, or else the government's going to take our ball away.
And $100,000. If a coach is making $5 million a year, $100,000 fine.
You did the math.
Okay, that's like, for those of us making $50,000 a year, given a $1,000 fine. It's not small.
It's not small.
It's not small.
So those are all that. Those are the quick six show topics. But I want to go back to point three because, again, we'll be spending a lot of time on hockey today with Ron McLean, Chris Dingman, and Jason LaBarbera on the Edmonton Football Club. Gunning their longtime equipment manager, Dwayne Mendrusiak. And I know we got a lot of viewers in Edmonton. Our statistics show us that. Aren't they number four for viewership?
Always in our top five.
Yeah. Always in the top five. Edmonton. The Edmonton sports community is buzzing. The media is trouncing the Edmonton football team for doing this. And the Eskimo alumni all over this because they love Dwayne. And my own personal story on Dwayne is every time the Riders were in Edmonton, I would stop by the locker room and he would have his feet up. He's kind of directing everybody around there. At 49 years with the club, you can do that.
Yeah.
Come on in. He always had a twinkle in his eye and a smile. And he was the papa of that Eskimo locker room for 49 years. Now, he wasn't in charge forever, but for as long as I've known, he was. And the way I'm looking at it is, folks, I spent a lot of time on the phone yesterday. Here's what's going on in the CFL that you don't know, although you should know. If you were paying even casual attention, the teams are slowly bleeding out. They're slowly going bankrupt. That is the truth. So in the case of Dwayne being let go, hey, we all get let go. It's happened to me multiple times. He will get over it. And everybody knows that. What they're upset about in Edmonton is the way it was done. And even I didn't understand that because nobody gets a 21-gun salute on their way out of town. Like almost nobody. Like the 0.0001% of the people that get a big montage and right. Most times it's boom, see ya. And that's what the Edmonton Football Club did to Dwayne, and that's what people have a problem with. And I didn't really get it until Dustin Nielsen of TSN 1260 Edmonton, who was on this show just the other day, tweeted this. He made a meme of Dwayne like this, looking over Commonwealth Stadium, and it said, "Thanks for 49 years, Dwayne." And he tweeted it. He goes, "I did that in a commercial break of my show. It's not that hard." That's what people are upset about. Not pack your sheet and get out. And that's, they have a legitimate beef. Do they not?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't believe he was terminated for any wrongdoing or actions or anything, right? To me, it seems like it's all coronavirus, right? Pandemic, the team struggling. And that's going to happen. There's going to be more that are going to come, right? But just, you know, we understand. And the thing is, we understand that the virus and the pandemic is hurting your business and you have to make tough decisions. And, you know, I might be let go or, you know what I mean? And that's okay. But, I mean, at least tell me that it was a tough decision and that you really didn't want to, you know, and thanks for the memories. Otherwise, it feels like you never appreciated it all along and all the work and all the years. So, yeah, I understand why it's not sitting well with people.
Well, Terry Jones, furthermore, we all know Terry Jones. He's in every Hall of Fame known to man from the Edmonton Sun, legendary columnist up there. And he says this community-owned team has lost touch with the community. And there's room for that argument, I think, is letting go your 49-year equipment manager with not even an acknowledgement. The tipping point on that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But that's pro sports now. That is, frankly, a lot of amateur sports now. It's not a thank you. And so on one side, I'm sitting there going, what did we expect? It sucks. I texted Dwayne. I haven't heard back, by the way. I'm sure he's got a flood. Think of the guys that he's worked with. Warren Moon, Matt Dunnigan, Damon Allen, Ricky Ray, all the greats that have come through there. By the way, I had a guy text me yesterday and say, "But Rod, this isn't the Eskimo way." I wrote him back. I said, "You understand that's not even a thing anymore." And that might be the most tragic thing of everything.
They have to create their own identity now, and they're trying to. This isn't a good start. It's not a good start. It's just, it's just extremely cutthroat at a time that, you know, again, I don't think anybody really has a problem that he's let go. I mean, some people do, for sure. They don't want anybody let go. But I think we can all be level-headed and understand people are going to lose their jobs. And that sucks, but we accept that. It's just the way they're doing it. Not good.
And that is exactly the point.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing in some of my phone calls yesterday, there are people that have been furloughed by the league and by teams that fully expect that they will have a job when the smoke clears. because the definition of furlough, because we looked it up, nobody ever even heard of it until 2020.
I know.
So I had to Google it, and it says temporary layoff. I think that, yeah, it's temporary, but I think for a lot of people it's going to become permanent. It has to, because the numbers aren't there, which, by the way, another guy that I was talking to yesterday was an NHL guy, and he was saying, look at the NFL. Sure, they're playing right now, but with no fans, how long can this go on? In 2 years, they're going to be paying Patrick Mahomes with Canadian Tire money. Because there's not going to be $45 million in the bank to pay him. There isn't.
I know.
That's where it's going, right? So that's for the people, unfortunately, there's a little bit of, well, they have to have me back. I'm irreplaceable in some people's minds. That's a problem on their end. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They just haven't sat back and, well, they haven't replaced me. They may or may not.
There's no guarantee you're coming back. So you got to look out for number one. And I think that's important. And some people are doing it. Some people are.
What else in these quick six show topics before we break and bring on Ron McLean has grabbed you? Oh, thank you. You just pointed out your shirt. I have it written down here. Thanks. Red alert. I had heard this was coming. I saw it yesterday from SaskTel Center, and I believe we have an outstanding relationship with SaskTel Center in Saskatoon, the 15,000-seat facility, home of the Rush, home of the Saskatoon Blades, and some of the greatest concerts I've ever seen. They lit up the arena in red, the exterior, last night in honor of the over a million people that work in live events in this country alone, in Canada. That's almost one in three Canadians have a connection to live events. Wear that.
Mm-hmm.
We're wearing red today in honor of the people in the live event industry who, frankly, is my biggest circle of friends. That includes sports, entertainment, concerts, all of that. That's my big, that's 98% of my friends.
Yeah.
Have you noticed? They haven't been making any noise. They haven't been picketing. They haven't been rioting. They haven't been calling out governmental leaders, because that's what my friends are like. They're classy people. However, they still need to stand there and go, hey, we're over here. They haven't been paid in 7 months. Not looking like it's going to happen anytime soon. This is to raise awareness, and maybe at some point we're going to be needing to raise funds for them. I mentioned 40. How much time's left? Okay. Mentioned that charitable donations in Canada are down 40% here in 2020. That from an Angus Reid poll. I'm not just making that up. That came from an institution that's well-respected. 40% down. People are cheap. You know that, right? People are very cheap.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about in our pre-game meeting here today how cheap Canadians are by nature. People can't pay their own bills in this industry. And it's not just live event, believe me. But we're wearing red. The red alert is out there. You're going to see more buildings adorned in the color red to honor these people, because frankly, they're being forgotten about right now, and they're not making a bunch of noise for themselves, because that's the way that they are. So it's for awareness of that entire industry. Almost one in three Canadians affected by it. Not cool. We'll be back with Ron McLean, sports update, and a lot more. We're just getting rolling. This has been the warm-up on the RP Show. You're watching across North America on the Game Plus Television Network, and you're listening and watching around the world on the Rod Peterson Broadcasting Network.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast on Game Plus TV. It's the moment you've all been waiting for. Hockey Night in Canada's Ron McLean. And just ahead of Ron, from our viewers regarding the red alert in support of the live event industry workers who haven't been paid in 7 months, John O'Flynn in North Vancouver writes, North Vancouver was lit up in red last night, too. Robin in Prince Albert says the EA Rawlinson Center in PA was lit up in red. So if you're seeing it across the country, this is what it's for. And that's why we're wearing red today in support of them. All right, let's bring him in today. Ron McLean on the day of Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final, Dallas-Tampa tonight. How you doing, Ron?
I'm great, Rudd, and I'll wear some red tonight. I didn't realize, so that's a great cause, and I'll support you later on.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you. So a lot. You'd have a lot of friends in that industry, no doubt.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And by the way, speaking of friends, you said you had stories on both Chris Dingman and Jason LaBarbera, who will be coming up later on in the program today.
Yeah, it's funny. When we started doing Rogers Hometown Hockey 6 seasons ago, Tara Sloan, one of the first texts she received was from Jason LaBarbera. I said, how do you know him? And of course, he was with the Calgary Hitmen. And as fate would have it, the conditioning and strength coach for the Hitmen, Sean Hope Ross, trains Tara. She used to do breakfast television in Calgary, and they've maintained a friendship and athletic links all through the years, even as she lives now in Toronto. And Jason's very connected there. So we would get some goalie scoops from Jason via Tara Sloan. And that's kind of the neat. I do remember one thing, if you're talking to Jason, one of my favorite saves he ever made was on Robbie Schrempf. I always thought Robbie Schrempf would be a star in the new NHL, but unfortunately his dangling and dipsy doodling wasn't cut out for the time. But one of the best players I ever saw down in London with the Knights, and they've produced so many players, is how Robbie didn't become a star. Great guy. So you can ask Jason about stopping Robbie Schrempf. Maybe he'll remember. And then Dingman is a really special connection. During the 2001 season, that summer, Don Meehan, the player agent with Newport, was celebrating his 50th birthday. So to celebrate, if you can believe it, he rented, chartered a plane, a jet, a jumbo wide-bodied, flew 112 friends from the hockey industry. So Scotty Bowman and Bobby Clark and the great Don Baisley and a who's who of hockey players, including Chris Dingman. We all flew to Scotland and Ireland to play golf for a week. And I remember it was quite the party, right? We were supposed to be honoring places like St. Andrew and, you know, the birthplace of golf. But really, a lot of us, especially me from Red Deer, just wanted to hang with the Western guys and drink. So I happened to be playing golf at Ballybunion in Ireland with Chris Dingman. And you're always playing, at least in my case, with hockey players, and they're good golfers. So it's the first hole, and I was always a little bit nervous because I was playing with the new three other guys in our foursome, and Dingman's in my group that day. And my approach shot is a 70-yard pitching wedge, and I'm a lefty, and so I wear the glove on my right hand, but as I hit the ball, the club spun in my sweaty hands. My hands, I was kind of a little hungover and sleep deprived, and my hands were still sweaty from nerves. And I shanked it and kind of sculled it across the green. And I said, oh, geez, you know, having all those beers last night and no sleep, club slipped in my hand. And Chris Dingman, in the blink of an eye, says, no, Ron, you just suck. I remember what a great guy he was. We spent that week together, and he came and visited when I did the World Track and Field a little bit later on in Edmonton, was where he was living. And obviously he was a key member of a couple of cups, but I'm a good friend of Brad Richards, as Chris knows. And Chris, Brad always said in game six, so they went to double overtime in game six against the Calgary Flames. And he said, honestly, Ron, like I played a half an hour, like a Ginla would. Marty St. Louis played a half an hour. Le Cavalier not far behind us, but we were beat up. You know, Christophe Oliva, Chris Simon, Dave Lowry, who played less than Chris Dingman did on the other side. You know, these were big, hard minutes that Calgary, when you played them. And he said Dingman was a star for us in games five and six. He played, you know, over 12 minutes in both those games, 20-plus shifts, and was just enormous in allowing St. Louis and me to survive, because we just didn't know if we had anything left in the tank, and we needed a big body like Chris to play those valuable minutes, which he...
He's a very he's very blunt, too, as we've noticed. So I'm looking forward to the chat, clearly, as he said to you about your golf game.
Yeah.
Hey, we do have some broadcasting questions for you. One's come from my co-host, Darren, and I'll get to that in a second. But just on the matchup, Stars Lightning, if you will, my friends are saying, hey, it's two Sunbelt teams. They're not that into it. I got friends primarily in Tampa, a few on Dallas, so I'm watching every game. How do you feel about the matchup and then the hockey that's followed in the series?
Look, Rod, I mean, to lose the Canadian teams is always tough. And I think if I was to read the glamour team of this year's playoffs, it would have been Colorado. I think Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar, you know, that would have been the sexy one to go to the final. There's nothing wrong with these two teams. But I just think, you know, we lost the Vegas element of 2 years ago was what kind of drove us when we lost Canada. And a lot of Canadians sort of know about Vegas. So that was a real great story. And Ovechkin. And then last year we had a team go from last to, you know, first in St. Louis, and it was Boston who has that original six following. This year, to your friend's point, it's hard to get, you know, motivated by or invested in the matchup. But, you know, what are you going to do? And it's, as we all kind of, I think, concur, the miracle of what we're watching in sport in the wake of the pandemic kind of makes up for that a bit. But I fully understand why at the tail end of your summer you might not want to be in front of the TV.
I get it. Well, hey, and I'm a Golden Knights fan, but I'm looking at Colorado going, these guys are awesome. And great stories with what Kadri was doing and Landeskog, who realized or remembered that he was that good. But hey, I get it. And again, I'll be watching. Darren, do you want to ask him about breaking in the kids?
We're going to go there first.
And Anthony Stewart and Bieksa.
I think that's so, super cool because, I mean, last time we talked, Ron, that was what, back in July. So it was before you started. But we could, like, we can tell when we're watching, at least the broadcasters can. I mean, they're rookies, right? And you're sitting there at the head of the table as kind of the coach, but they've come a long way. What's that process been like?
Well, Bieksa is incredible. So Dingman had 120 fights in his NHL career. Kevin, who I feel fought a lot, he had 56, but he fought five or six times a year, and he's cut from that same cloth, right? He's got the great sense of fighting defenseman. I think that's a really valuable. He's got an academy down in California, and what's really incredible, Rod and Darren, is Bieksa will actually say to the producer, you know, give me about 15, 20 seconds on camera before we roll the clip. I mean, who does that in their rookie year in television in hockey analysis? He's the first guy I've ever seen, but that's his coaching. That's because he works with the kids and he wants to go to the chalkboard and kind of detail the drill and then execute the drill. So that has been just unbelievable to experience. And in Anthony's case, the joy of Anthony is, you know, he speaks in movie quotes, right? He spends half the game on Twitter and Instagram, like your ad. You know, so he's always making these memes or GIFs or whatever the hell they are. Very creative, and he loves to steal from pop culture and mix that in. And the only sort of learning curve for Anthony that I still need to impart is, like, for heaven's sakes, Anthony, you know, get something from that first period for yourself. Never mind tweeting out a GIF with Fred Flintstone. he's really creative, and when we focus him, I think a little more on the actual intermission. He's been a joy. He's got a wry sense of humor. He and Kevin clearly connect because they each fought. I think that's a really, you know, all those guys that fought in the National Hockey League, and Anthony hated to. He didn't want to. He was a great scorer, like Dingman, great scorer in junior, but forced to, you know, fight to survive. And when you're forced to do something outside of your comfort zone, you kind of wear a mask and you puff out your feathers and you pretend. And so Anthony and all the tough guys are usually pretty good at pretending when it gets to the red light on the cap.
But on those two with Bieksa, look, Ron, you know, if you're going to last in this business and make it, you can't care what other people think. And clearly, yeah, Bieksa does not. And I love when he showed up with the Vancouver V jacket and speaking of puffing out his chest, he didn't care. And I respect that he would wear that, because you know what it's like on national television. You can't play favorites. He doesn't care. He's like, I'm doing it. And secondly, Anthony Stewart, from the start, the first game I tuned in, I'm like, what's Pedro Martinez doing on there? I had no idea who he was. And he was nervous. So to see how far he's come in 2 months, to me, tells me how talented he is, because he's great on there now. But he's had the most growth of anybody I've seen in the playoffs, on the ice or off, Ron.
The one thing about Bieksa and that tell it like it is or shoot from the hip, honestly, Rod, I was so impressed. You know, he was a dear friend of Rick Rippon, who succumbed to mental health issues that resulted in suicide. And he's really big on that, like Kelly Rudy is. And Kevin, you know, he showed a photo one night of him and Rick Bonus when Kevin was going through about a 3-year window with the Vancouver Canucks where they were going to trade him every other day. And, you know, he revealed that vulnerability. So I think it's really important to emphasize, you know, he is kind of cock of the walk, and he has a great devil in him that will, you know, gallows humor that will cut you to shreds, me included, anybody. He doesn't care. But he's also got that, you know, there's a real penetratingly deep side to Kevin Bieksa that I'm just so grateful that we've tapped into. And on Anthony, yes. I mean, if you listen to him with Jeff Merrick on Hockey Central at noon, if you get a chance, when it opens up, you know, he too has, I mean, he played the role of the cap. He was 17 years old. He led the Kingston Frontenacs in scoring. That's how good he was. He made the World Junior team, right? That's how good he was. And then he had to kind of scratch and claw after that to make a living for himself. So, and now he's coaching the Young Nats, as a great program here in Toronto, highest, you know, AAA program. Plus, he's doing instructional academy work. So, and he's yeah, very, very lucky to have. And I feel like Cassie Campbell Pascal is just, she can teach. You know, she's a captain, so she knows how to be a leader. And she teaches everything that the Hockey Canada folks teach. And then she's also enrolled in the NHL coaches program. So she's been a great, and when we get the chance, Colby's, you know, been a, as you know, from either Battle of the Blades or Hockey Night in Canada, he brings a ton. So I think, you know, it's been a, as you all know, to lose Don was a, that was a big transformation that Hockey Night in Canada was going to have to go through, and missed Don, but very grateful for what's ended up being on the program.
Well, not shocking to you that it would take five people to replace Don.
Yeah.
Right. From our viewers, Robert Kazikoff, man, I love this show. From Donna Berger, Clark, thank you for all your hard work. Appreciate the guests. From Rob Johnston, I could listen to Ron all day. Just an awesome guest. Well done, guys. From Jeremy Knight, who's watching from Toronto, longtime friend of mine, works with the Jays Care Foundation. He says, what will Ron remember the most about this year's unique Stanley Cup playoffs?
Well, just the incredible idea that it was feeling so real every time I watched. I think from the moment it started, I was shocked. And the Jays, I'll speak a little bit about the Blue Jays, seeing the very first game, and Jansen was catching, and Rafael Dolis came in as a reliever in the very first game of the year. It looks like they're magic numbers, too. They're going to make the postseason. And I remember the working back and forth. Rafael Dolis hadn't pitched in the majors in 7 years, and he couldn't find the plate. His first 23 pitches, I think he only threw seven strikes. And I thought, oh, Jays are going to get killed here. And Ryu had been on the mound, right? So that was a big story for the Jays. And I just saw that dynamic and I thought, wow, it's happening in an empty ballpark, you know, and I think they were in Orlando at the time. Amazing. That's what I'll remember is how, you know, we all play, or I don't know if everybody does, but I play a lot of beer league hockey. And I always felt like sitting on the bench at beer league hockey on Tuesday and Wednesday nights and in the game itself, that everything outside the glass is academic. And that's how this has been, you know, to see player after player score a big goal and go to the glass, you know, to cheer with the fans. And there are no fans, just shows how you can suspend disbelief and give it what it really matters is an effort about the game within the glass. So that's what I'll remember.
For sure, and I know you'd agree that the NHL should be extremely proud of the way they've pulled this off. Look, I'll do one more, and then we got to let you go. We could sit here all day. From Chase Tippett.
I got to hear Jason and Chris.
From Chase Tippett, the favorite nephew of Dave Tippett. He says, yeah. Ron's thoughts on Rick Bonus.
Well, I've spent the last two summers with Rick at his charity golf tournament called Maritime NHLers for Kids. And this is the most amazing thing. I've played in a million charity events all around Canada, and it's the only golf tournament I know where they don't allow alcohol on the course. They have all the kids from minor hockey come and be caddies or ball washers or whatever job they can give them. And he doesn't want drinking and, you know, debauchery on the golf course. He wants this to be a really great moment for the young children in minor hockey, boys and girls. That's Rick Bonus in a nutshell. So Tippett's a great teacher. It's funny, I was talking to Leon Draisaitl, not to drop names, but obviously I was interviewing Leon about his Hart Trophy and Ted Lindsay Award, and his father Peter and Dave Tippett went head to head in the 92 Olympics, and I was blessed to cover those games, and Dave was fantastic, and so was Peter Draisaitl. But Bonus, you know, he's hockey through and through, and if I could say one thing, it's that he's invited me to his home on Grand Lake in Nova Scotia, where both Nathan MacKinnon and Sidney Crosby have homes. His wife, Judy, as Kevin Bieksa said on Hockey Night in Canada, it's the only time he's ever seen this where a coach's wife is in the wives' room with the players' wives. Everybody loved the bonuses. They know how to create a family, and he does everything with that in mind, what it's like to be a kid looking up to somebody. So, yeah, very special story.
Wonderful answer. And by the way, Chase, I don't actually think you're Dave's favorite nephew. I know your brother, Barrett. Dave loves you both the same. I don't want to start a family fight. Just a comment. Jamie in Halifax is watching. Jamie Anstey, he says, I got to drive Ron during Hockey Day in Canada, located in Halifax. What a great man. I was sweating knowing I was driving him that day. Great to see you live on the RP show. So there you go, Ron. Not that it's new to you, but it's new to us viewers from Vancouver to Halifax chiming in today on our interview. I appreciate the time, of course, and we'll be watching. Thanks for the time today.
Same, Rod. And yeah, Clark, you keep up the good work producing, because that's he's a hound. That's good.
He is. He absolutely is. Thanks, Rod. And not a Notre Dame hound, by the way. He's just a relentless dog. All right. As Ron smiles as we go to break here, and a sports update coming up. So, yeah, I'm excited for Game 3, the Stanley Cup Final tonight. I know everybody else is. Your thoughts? Fire them at us on the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777. Prairie Mobile is your authorized SaskTel mobility dealer, headquartered in Winnipeg. That's 306-840-8777. And the poll question today, by the way, is for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. Is the $100,000 fine to NFL coaches for not wearing a mask too harsh? 53% of you saying yes. 47% of you saying no. And as we say, Darren, I can smell a controversy. This is a hot button topic.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll talk about that and more when we come back. It's the RP Show across North America on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rob.
It's a fantastic day here. You're witnessing the dawning of a new nickname for producer Clark, the Hound. And before I get to the sports update, by the way, Ron McLean referring to producer Clark as a hound. Did you see the look in his face when he said it, by the way? He's like, stop bothering me. Guys are all laughing over here. Tell the folks what you told me in the break, that you and I couldn't do it.
We couldn't do it. Like, that's Rod and I to our core is, we just don't want to bother you. You know what? If you want to come on, come on. But I'm not going to ask you a million times. But in that role, you got to do it. You need to just, right?
I know.
You
Clark
have
doesn't
to.
Mind.
No, and he's good at it.
Well, it started way back a year ago, 324 episodes ago. You know, Clark was just swinging for the fences. And the thing was, we were getting them.
Yeah. Well, that was the challenge.
It's created an expectation for people waiting to see. But Clark loves that.
I remember the
loves a challenge.
I remember the conversations. Like, I remember the conversation that we had early on sitting on that couch. And, you know, this is a new show. You know, some people won't really understand what we're doing, trying to, you know, really be leaders in the digital world. So A-list guests only, right? We can't be, you know, small. We can't look small. We need to have these A-list guests and, you know, utilize Rod's Rolodex and everything else. So we took it as a challenge. And remember he's going to run out of guests by Labor Day. He's going to run out of guests by Christmas.
He loved it.
And it's just one after the other after the other. And here we are.
Medicine Hat checking in. Morning, Larry Dye. Thanks for joining us for coffee. Clark writing from the back room. Ain't nothing but a hound dog. We got to do a meme. I could see the Snapchat filter around his face with the dog. And okay, sports update. Canada's Jamal Murray had 28 points, 12 assists, and 8 rebounds, and made two late three-pointers to halt a Lakers charge, helping the Denver Nuggets to a 114-106 victory in Game 3 of the NBA's Western Conference Finals. Denver's win cut LA's lead to 2-1 with Game 4 Thursday. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver said that his best guess is that next season will not start until at least January, and he acknowledged that the later-than-usual schedule could mean top U.S. men's players miss next summer's Tokyo Games. The league was originally hoping for a December 1st start to next season. Yankees ace Gerrit Cole limited Toronto to 5 hits over 7 innings in his final preparation for the playoffs. And Aaron Hicks drove in 3 runs in a 12-1 Yankees rout of the Blue Jays on Tuesday. New York lowered its magic number to 1 for clinching second place in the American League East. The third place Jays are 4 games back with 5 to play, but they do own a wild card, and their magic number is now 2 to clinch it. Two more NFL head coaches and their teams have reportedly been fined for not wearing masks on the sideline. John Gruden of the Raiders and Sean Payton of the Saints were each fined $100,000 U.S. The teams were fined $250,000. The league already handed out similar punishments to Denver's Vic Fangio, San Francisco's Kyle Shanahan, and Seattle's Pete Carroll. pardon me, this sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Saskatchewan's newest entertainment destination. Going there for lunch tomorrow.
Awesome.
And for Red Bull Canada. Red Bull gives you wings. Coffee going down the wrong way. Pardon me. Where were we? What are you thinking? Talk for a minute.
That reminded me when I was hosting and you were in Vegas, and I had the same thing happen, and it was Craig Smith and John Lynch were in these two chairs, and as you know, John does, you know, he's still in his conversation as we're coming back from break, talking all over me.
Shut up, John.
And I'm like, we're doing a show here, and I take a sip of my coffee, and I start coughing, and I can't get my words out. And they're dead silent. And I look, I'm like, now you want to stop talking? It's like when I need you the most. But so I get it. When the coffee goes down and you're trying to host a show.
So Robert Kazikov's written in a couple of times this. I'm going to read his. He's very adamant that he wants this read. The QMJHL, guys, would you put this on the screen? Yeah, thank you. Is looking for $20 million from the government to compensate playing in empty stadiums. Sounds like in return, the league would then make penalties like fighting more severe. Is that a good deal? Just hang on. I'll come back on that. I'm just going to read. We're going to go to viewer takeover a little early here because people got stuff to say this morning. I'm seeing anonymous texter from the T250, the BC Interior. Says it's time we heard from Randy Ambrosi or someone at the CFL about the state of the league. That's anonymous texter from BC. I think that guy emailed us on the weekend and said, here's my name, Rod. Can you text me now? Tell me your name and I'll put it into the contacts here. And then Brady from Saskatoon writes in and says, hey, Rod, the $100,000 fine for coaches is ridiculous. What about the coaches half-ass wearing them? Where's their fine? That's good point by Brady there. So anyways, you're noticing that everything to do with sports, pretty much everything, is funneling back to coronavirus, funneling back to, in every regard, the Q wanting millions, NFL coaches being fined for not wearing masks properly. It's running the whole world, and we know that. That's not breaking news. But my brother sent me a link this morning to the NCAA moving their fall sports D1 championships, fall championships to the spring. I don't know if you saw that or not. It was breaking news this morning. And there's people thinking that what happens in the U.S. might trigger stuff to change in Canada. And I'm on these phone conversations every day, and I'm like, guys and girls, it is not changing. When do you understand what happens in America is not affecting what's happening in Canada? And I'm kind of at a loss here because when I said I was talking to that NHL guy yesterday on the phone, the governments are not budging. We're 7 months into this. They're not budging. Especially in this province where there's an election almost a month from now to the day. Things are going pretty great here. They're not going to change anything.
No.
And the point, too, somebody said to me, well, just because the NFL is doing this and the NHL is doing that, how come in this province where the cases are so low, we should be rewarded and come back to play? I said, because of the copycat nature of these governments. Nobody wants to be the first government to open wide open and cause a potential disaster. I don't see it changing until a vaccine comes out.
Right.
Scary as hell. And one person said to me, I don't like you're going the wrong way on this. You're going the other way. I thought you were pro sport and business. I said, I am. I didn't say I agree with it. But no amount of pouting or stomping your feet is going to change how the government feels on this. That's my sense. And I've had discussions with government on other topics. Light just went out and back on. Do you have a thought on that?
Yeah, I mean, whether you agree with it or don't, it's kind of the way it is. And it's not just, you know, get along with it and go along with things, but you kind of have to a little bit and figure out, you know, how can you push towards a solution and get back to playing while still respecting everybody and understanding the jobs that people have to do. And there is a big job to keep everybody safe. And I know they're going back to school, and that's maybe a lot more risky with the kids and recess and everything else than going to play hockey. But it's also a lot more important, I think, in terms of, you know, essential services or things we need to do. Education, a little higher than sports. And sports is important, team sports, it's important for mental health, but there's a whole lot of other avenues that we can go about to utilize those things, right? You can go for a run. There's other exercises. There's other team building things you can do. But, you know, just be patient. You got to
We'll pause for the cause. Hang on to Mandy's question, guys. And another question's come in from Halifax. We'll get to it all in the viewer takeover segment right after this. It's the RP Show on this Wednesday, September 23rd. It's episode 324 of Canada's daytime sports talk show. And we'll return in a moment on Game Plus TV Network and the Rod Peterson Broadcasting Network.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show?
You can still chime in from wherever you are in the comment section. As a matter of fact, we encourage that.
What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Feel like we're solving a lot of the world's problems here today. I'm not even joking on that. Just a continuation from last segment about how I don't see anything changing until there's a vaccine in the world. That's just the truth. And Wayne in Victoria, B.C. is watching. He says, I have to agree with you, Rod. It takes a long time for government to change policies. Yes, Wayne. That's if they want to. They don't even want to change what they're doing, by the way. So all the pressure, the petitions, people are getting signed, it's not making the government change the way they're going to do things. Now, the viewer here in Regina asked about the queue getting millions of dollars. They're asking that from the government. It's like a million per team, right, to offset the cost of not having crowds.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether they're going to get it or not, but you made this point, and it was find a way to play. Man, teams with bare bones staffs are going to have to find a way to play without crowds and make money out of it. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. If you want to play junior hockey, university sports, however it is, you're going to have to do it safely within your own bubble environment, get government approval. There will be sports in 2021, but with no fans in the crowd. We're all moving towards that, and not just at the amateur level. I'm talking with the NHL guys. They said they're watching the NFL guys to see how that plays out. It ties into our poll question, the $100,000 fine to the coaches for not wearing masks. It's like, guys, you can't screw around with this, because if you screw around with it, you're not going to be able to play, and it's going to affect everybody in sport. It's not just about the $100,000, frankly. But you said this. Now, you don't have kids, but you said, mind you, you're around kids.
Yes.
They're not playing sports. They don't necessarily mind. Can you explain that?
I don't think that they mind. And I think, you know, there's this whole group of people who are just hanging on and really sad, you know, that sports isn't here and we need sports. And there's just no talking about it at all. If there's no sports, that's it. We need sports. And then there's a whole group of people that are accepting, okay, we may be in a world of no sports, and they're okay to adapt and move forward, and it's sad that sports isn't there. But when you listen to all of the noise, for the most part, it's the parents who are upset. It's the parents who are yelling and upset that there's no sports. It's not the kids that are upset. I think the kids are okay because, you know, for the parents and for people our age and we grew up playing sports and watching sports and loving sports. The kids now are not. Yeah, they're playing sports and they love it, but they're growing up watching, you know, video games and things like that. So if there's no sports, I think the kids would be happy playing sports and video games. They're not as upset. It's the parents who are upset for their kids and trying to, you know, be mad and try and tell the world that their kid's upset. When the kid, if you ask them, they're not really that upset. They're like, you know what? I got to stay inside and play video games. It's not so bad. We're okay. Well, you know, sports will be there later. And if not, other things will come along. We will evolve. But, you know, it's just people are just far too upset and not patient enough.
Are you seeing examples of this or are you just supposing?
I see it on social media all the time.
Okay.
You know, people banging down the doors or people, you know, mentioning premiers and prime ministers and presidents on social media and their city councilors. Let the kids play. You're ruining the kids. And the kids sit back here, Mom, like, I'm good. The video game's fine. I don't see the kids, obviously, aren't tweeting those things, but you see it all the time.
Holy smokers. The hound tells me we're out of time. So we'll continue this into hour two, okay? Jason LaBarbera and Chris Dingman are going to be with us to talk more Stanley Cup on the day of Game 3. Thanks to Ron McLean and all of you. For the rest, we'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain right here on Game Plus. I can sniff controversy. I can smell it.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.